Welcome back to Talk Louisiana. This is Jan Swift sitting in for Jim Engster today. Our number is 877-217-5757 if you'd like to call in. We'd like to welcome Jay Darden, Commissioner of Administration for the State of Louisiana, to the show. A graduate of LSU and LSU Law School, Jay has served our state with distinction from his service on the East Baton Rouge Metro Council, the State Senate, Secretary of State, and then Lieutenant Governor. He was appointed by Governor John Bel Edwards to serve as Commissioner of Administration and is now in his second term in that position. And Jay, I remember you fondly as student body president at LSU. I know how much you love our university. So welcome to the show, and hopefully we can start out with a couple of thoughts on current affairs that are unfolding at LSU.
Jan, good morning. Thanks. It's nice to be with you.
Oh, yes. Thank you for making time today. And I don't know if you heard any of the first part of the show, but our infrastructure needs big improvement.
I did. I just heard a snippet of it right at the very end. But, our infrastructure is about to get a lot of improvement, I think, with all this incredible amount of money coming down from the federal government and a lot of it dedicated to infrastructure and Congress still considering another $1 trillion plus infrastructure plan. So there's going to be some federal money available to us, and we've got to make good use of it.
Right. Well, maybe we can have a helicopter port on the other side of the bridge for people that have emergencies, which I'm sure you've experienced before, too.
So. Yeah, it's a mess. And we've got a problem with the Lake Charles Bridge and with the Baton Rouge Bridge. And this infrastructure program, if it comes down, could be an answer to at least making some down payments on those two projects.
Well, I want you to have time to speak about the budget and the infusion of cash, but if we could just have you answer a couple of questions. You know, when I called you about this interview, I asked you if you would be interested in serving LSU in a leadership capacity, and I'm hoping you could share your thoughts on that.
Well, I said at the outset that I thought there ought to be two positions, a chancellor of the Baton Rouge campus and a president of the system, and the president would worry about all the universities in the system and try and bring them all together and have a larger role in the day-to-day operations on the Baton Rouge campus, and I would certainly be interested if that were the case. It's not the case right now. The board has decided to have a single position, and I have indicated I wasn't interested in that single position, and there's a search underway right now, and we'll see what happens with that search. I'm certainly getting encouragement from a lot of people to reconsider that, but it's, as I've said, I think it needs to be two positions.
I would encourage you to reconsider that also. And before we move on from LSU, you know, over the weekend, it just seems like more and more news stories are coming out about problems that have been, you know, different students, athletes, different people that haven't been disciplined. And if you can share your thoughts to the best of your ability on where we are and what you'd like to see as LSU moves forward.
I certainly don't know everything that's been going on and that went on during all those years that are in question, but it's very troubling, of course, for I think everybody who's a fan of LSU and who's concerned about what's happened. I did see part of the testimony Friday, and it was gut-wrenching, and it really was. And it's one of the many problems the university's got to confront right now, and I think they're taking appropriate steps looking down the line for the future. I don't know if they can correct everything that's happened in the past, but I think certainly the leadership of the university right now is looking to the future, and I think you're going to see some appropriate changes made. And I know you'll see some appropriate changes made to make certain these kind of things don't happen anymore.
Right. You know, from a LSU and LSU Law School graduate here also, I'd love to see maybe the light that's being shined on all these issues to also shine the light on the library and the infrastructure needs of the students, you know, outside of athletics. I know that's another topic, but hopefully
it is a very important component for LSU's future, and we've included the lab, at least some funding for the library in the proposed capital outlay budget to get the design underway. It's a massive project, and it's going to take a considerable amount of money, hopefully some private dollars as well as public dollars, but it's well past due to have a new library for the flagship university in the state. And there's some other great projects underway on campus, the Huey Long Fieldhouse, and the arts area is going to be undergoing a great renovation, and the science building, which is really shifting the focus of the campus a little bit further, I guess, south from where the quadrangle is. So some good things are happening.
That's great. Well, thank you for your thoughts. And let's move on to what's going on with the American Rescue Plan. You were telling me that Louisiana is going to get about $5.2 billion with $3.2 going to state government. And I know there's a lot of other monies going to the cities and education in different categories, but $3.2 billion.
It's just an unprecedented amount of money. I said at a meeting last week, it's the biggest federal outlay, I think, since the New Deal that's gone to states and cities for direct appropriation to those entities. For example, we are getting $3+ billion in the state with some restrictions on how it's spent, but it's going to give us a great opportunity to do some infrastructure planning. Mm-hmm. And to look down the road to the future and hopefully not spending all this money in one fell swoop. We have until December of 2024 to spend the money, and the governor will be releasing a plan hopefully in the next few days, or certainly before the session begins on April 12th, with our recommendations for how we use these funds.
Right. I think I read $180 million reserved for construction projects, so that's not enough for a bridge.
It's $180. Well, it's actually $180 million for broadband.
Broadband.
And then there is and one of the proposed uses of the $3 billion is for water, sewer, and broadband infrastructure.
Okay.
You'll see a real focus on water and sewer projects in the state because we have some desperate needs, particularly in our rural areas. But there's an additional $180 million for broadband. And Vineeth Iyengar, who we just hired to be our broadband czar, in essence, to coordinate a statewide effort working with locals, will be in charge of figuring out how best to use that money. But that's money that will be very well spent because, as you talked about earlier in the show, the broadband needs stretch across the state for both fiber and towers, as well as, in some cases, still equipment. But we're not going to waste that money. We're going to make sure that it's creating an environment in Louisiana where every nook and cranny of the state is going to have access to broadband, and hopefully, not hopefully, but affordable access to broadband, so that individuals who aren't as well off as some others will also be able to have internet in their homes.
Mm-hmm. Boy, those nook and crannies, even North Louisiana, I can imagine Claiborne Parish and some of those really rural areas are probably clamoring for this, so that's good to hear.
They are, and their local governments, as you mentioned, are getting a direct infusion of money. There are 12 cities in Louisiana, the largest cities, that are getting a direct appropriation from the federal government. Mm-hmm. Every parish is getting a direct appropriation from the federal government, and then literally every village, town, and city in the state is also in line for a specific amount of money that will be flowing through the state. We won't govern that as we did with the local CARES program, but we'll be the funnel to get that money to those entities.
It's going to be a busy time at the Capitol, huh?
It really is.
Jay, we have on the line Mike from Zachary. That's not right. Excuse me, Jay. I'm looking at the Janet? No, I'm looking at the computer. Excuse me. I want to ask our guest to excuse me today. So, Jay, what are some of the projects with this infusion of money, what do you expect to see coming out of the session we're about to begin?
Well, I think there'll definitely be a significant infusion of money for the unemployment trust fund that's been drained down to nothing. And we'll owe the federal government back a couple of $100 million, at least as of right now, for money that they have spent to make our unemployment payments over the course of the past several months. We want to refund the unemployment trust fund or build that back up. It's down to nothing. And I can assure you there's going to be multiple hundreds of millions of dollars recommended by the governor to put into that trust fund. And I think the legislature will be eager to go along with that because we want to make certain that we're not imposing new taxes on business, because one of the requirements of the law is that you have to raise the tax on business in order to make sure that trust fund stays healthy. And we want to avoid putting any further taxes on business to pay for that. And these federal dollars give us a chance to do that because it's one of the allowable uses of the money, because it came about solely because of the pandemic. So that'll be the top priority you'll hear about in the not-too-distant future.
Right, right. So I guess with all the vaccinations taking place, hopefully, you know, our workforce will be back in gear where we can get
divided. I just walked out of a meeting about that, where the governor's current order is going to expire in the next several days, and he'll have an announcement about what the next phase is going to look like. And one of the key components to where we go from now is to continue to increase vaccination opportunities for people all across the state and to encourage people to get their vaccination. That's been one of the keys that's enabled us to reduce hospitalizations and stabilize our numbers and hopefully seeing the light at the end of the tunnel to end this pandemic.
Mm-hmm. So many young people I know are thrilled that age, you know, has been lifted. I'm scheduled for my first vaccination this week. I'm assuming government workers, people like you, were able to get those, I guess, for various reasons. Yeah.
Well, we were in the third. I don't remember exactly which phase it was. I got mine a couple of weeks ago. Last week was the 2-week anniversary of my second shot, mm-hmm. and so I got it when we were eligible to get it. Now it's going to be open to anybody and everybody, and I'm hopeful that young people are going to take advantage of this as well. That's been an area that has continued to see some consistency in the number of new mm-hmm. cases, whereas the 70-plus-year-olds, most have been vaccinated. Most of those numbers have come down. So all that's been encouraging, but we really need to keep the attention on the fact that these vaccinations are now available and they're safe and they're recommended, and people need to take advantage of the opportunity to get vaccinated, because that's what's going to help get us out of this situation that we're in right now, where we still have limitations on activities and we still have a mask mandate, and we certainly want to get to the point where we move away from those limitations.
Yeah, I've been proud of our state for the way it's handled the lockdown. I know people have been very frustrated, especially business owners, but I think Louisiana could have been in a lot worse shape if we hadn't had the capable leadership that we've had. So I've been really happy about that. My whole family's been supportive. So, well, Jay, we've got just a few seconds before we're going to take a break, and we'll have a little break and then come back for another 15 minutes or so. Thank you for being with us, and I'm going to ask you to hold on, and we'll be back.
Will do.
Thank you. Welcome back to Talk Louisiana. This is Jan Swift, sitting in for Jim Engster today. Our number is 877-217-5757 if you'd like to call in. And we're talking with Jay Darden, our Commissioner of Administration for the state of Louisiana. Now, Jay, I had some personal things I wanted to ask you about, but before we move on, is there anything that we didn't talk about with the upcoming session that you felt you'd like to get in?
Well, I think it's going to be, as always, an interesting session. It's a limited session to fiscal matters, and so there's going to be a lot of discussion about tax reform, and there'll be a lot of discussion about how to spend this money coming from the federal government. So it's going to be a money session with a lot of emphasis on that. And I'm very optimistic and hopeful it's going to be a productive session. The governor and the legislative leadership have a very good relationship right now and are working hard to work together and try and make certain that we're smart in the way we spend this money, and that we're also smart in the way we evaluate the tax structure in Louisiana. I encourage everybody to keep an eye on.
Right. I'm hoping that we get a centralized tax structure in place, you know, for collection.
I hope so, too. And yeah. That's going to be a big argument or mm-hmm. a big debate during the session, I should say, about centralizing tax collections. It's been troublesome for businesses, and it's been important for us to be able to make mm-hmm. certain we maximize our online revenue.
It's a big change for local government. Yes. I think for our state, it will help us move forward and get a grip on, you know, where taxes are coming from. So I wanted you, during this segment, you know, I've heard you speak before, and so many times people like you are answering questions about government or taxes or your responsibilities, but I've had the pleasure of seeing you speak, in particular, before Leadership Louisiana, and you give this fascinating overview of the state, like the history of who moved into what area, such as the Acadians, into our region of Lafayette, and, you know, the Germans and the different people that populated our state. And it's hilarious, and it's also very insightful about who you probably deal with statewide. If you can maybe touch on some of that and let people get to know that side of you, the historian that you are.
Well, it's interesting you mention that, because my eighth grade Louisiana history teacher, Betty Teffer, passed away this week. She was 99, and that was really the impetus for my getting interested in Louisiana history and geography. And the program I do is called Why Louisiana Ain't Mississippi, and it's all about Louisiana's history and culture and politics and literature and music, and it's kind of become very much a habit of mine. I'm not a historian, but I'm a pseudo-historian mm-hmm. and a real fan of what makes Louisiana special, and that's what it's all about. And I love talking about that and sharing that story with people who don't often think about what a human gumbo we are with all the different ethnicities that have come to Louisiana through the port of New Orleans, and how that was such a key entry point for Europeans coming to the New World. Long before there was an Ellis Island, there was a port of New Orleans where people came to the New World, and a lot of those folks, the ancestors of current Louisianians, stayed here, and and all the different flavors of Louisiana are part of what make us unique and make us special, and it's just fun to talk about it, and people are interested in it.
You know, we really have so many different cultures in Louisiana. I don't know that all the states could say that, but when you spoke to our Leadership Louisiana class, I remember I was planning on running for office, and with the last name of Swift, you know, I'm like the British sea captain, and my two opponents, the one who won, Jean-Paul Cousin, and then there was André Comeau, and you were saying how people tend to elect those that represent, you know, the region, the names and who they're familiar with. And I went up to you after and said, oh, no. And you said, well, you know, it may not happen. But I found that to be true. We just have such a gumbo, but yet we have a beautiful gumbo. And when you speak about it, you just bring that love of our state. And I don't know, I wanted you to share that because you've really served in so many different positions, including locally here in Baton Rouge. I mean, do you remember those days with the Metro Council?
It's been quite a while ago, but yeah. I've been very fortunate to be in a number of different positions, but the constant through all of it is just the love for Louisiana, and as you point out, just looking at those different groups that are so identifiable today, and a lot of it stems from the French and Spanish and Catholic influence on Louisiana, particularly in South Louisiana, that really is where we got our start, and what, even when we were a territory, before we were a state, and that influence is still so prevalent today, and it's interesting to see how it has impacted our politics. Part of what I've talked about through the years is looking at the state Senate, because they're a larger geographic group than the House of Representatives, but when you look at the makeup of the Senate over the past 30 years, it's very interesting to look at the last names and the heritage of those senators and where they come from, and there's a lot of consistency there when you look at the last names, for example, the folks who've represented Acadiana, or the influence of certain groups in North Louisiana, which is largely white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, and then you also, in the overlay of African Americans in Louisiana, where we're the second largest African American population in the nation, and it'll be interesting to see what happens in the 2020 census, but how that influence has been so pervasive even in the days before statehood, and so it's a fascinating story, and I love talking about it.
And I know your time as Lieutenant Governor, you really got to know the state, and you know, a backer of tourism, and kind of swinging back to the money that's coming in the state, I know that's going to be a very important focus to make sure that our tourism industry can get back on its feet and be viable, because that is kind of what makes Louisiana tick.
You're right. It's a huge part of the economy, and it's one of the most critical areas that was damaged by the pandemic. Obviously, people weren't traveling, and we're very dependent upon tourism trade, particularly in New Orleans, and particularly with convention traffic in New Orleans. And it's going to be very competitive beginning now among the 50 states on trying to draw people to their location. So part of, I think, the recommendation you'll see coming from the governor will be some of this federal money to assist the local tourism districts that were crippled by the pandemic, as well as the Lieutenant Governor's office with the overall messaging about travel to Louisiana. And I know it's going to be important to New Orleans, as I mentioned before, because of the convention traffic and the leisure travelers who love New Orleans. I think we're going to be a real magnet for travel, because people are going to have a lot of pent-up energy and money to spend, and they're going to want to go someplace fun and to forget the troubles of the past year. And hopefully Louisiana is going to be a targeted destination. But we've got to spend some money to make sure people are aware of it.
I know our Cajun Dome has suffered, and I'm assuming the Superdome has really been put through it.
It has. I mean, they lost the Saints games, obviously, with very limited attendance in any number of concerts and shows. WrestleMania and other things that are important to the Dome just canceled, and that's revenue directly out of the pocket of the Stadium Exposition District that runs the Dome. And they've got to get back on their feet, and they've got to be able to convince people to travel to Louisiana in order to enjoy the events that take place there.
Right. Jay, we've got a few minutes left, and we do have a caller on line one. It's Wayne from Lafayette. Wayne, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call there.
Good morning.
I was calling about this $400 million that we owe the federal government for Katrina work and levee building. And it's just tough for me to believe that, you know, it's 15 years after Katrina almost, and we still got dealing around with money and old bills on that. We ought to take some of this $3.2 billion we're getting and pay this $400 million off entirely. We don't need it to mess with our bonding things. We got enough other infrastructure projects that we can use this bonding for. And I really think this is just carrying it too far. I mean, 15 years after something has happened, and we've had other hurricanes, Laura, no telling what's going to happen this year, and other catastrophes come along. Let's put this behind us and pay off these bills and get on with it while we have funds and not hurt the credit capacity of the state.
Thank you, Wayne.
We're going to recommend doing just that. You're going to hear that'll be one of the recommendations we make for the use of this money and to avoid the bonding program that was recommended. The bonding program, if we had to do it, and we may still have to do it for the second year's payment, would save the state well over $1 billion long term because of the interest it's running on this debt. This is a legitimate debt that the state had in order to build that hurricane prevention system around the Orleans Parish and other parishes, and we're going to owe it one way or the other. The bottom line bill is almost $3 billion, representing Louisiana's share. If we bond it, we can save over $1 billion, but we agree with you. That $400 million is something that can be spent from this $3 billion pot because, again, it's directly related to water issues and appropriate infrastructure use of the money. So I think we're going to be able to avoid that bonded indebtedness for at least a year. But the $400 million is not the entirety of the debt. It would be another $400 million that's going to be due the second year.
Jay, will people be able to go into the Capitol easier now that, you know, the vaccinations are happening? Will there be more committee hearings such as they had last Friday? You think it's going to be
I hope that there will be, because obviously the legislative session without public input mm-hmm. and direct public input is frustrating. But the answer to that is yes, I think there's going to be better access. There's still going to be a masking requirement as of right now and social distancing even within the Capitol. But I think there'll be more access. I know there'll be more accessibility than there was last year when mm-hmm. everything was basically closed off except to the legislators.
Because without that public input, as you said, no one can really do their job effectively and represent the people. So.
Well, it's been very frustrating to not have meetings where people can attend. And mm-hmm. these Zoom meetings have proven to be very effective, but it's difficult for the public to participate in a Zoom meeting and to have the kind of contact that they would have with their elected officials when they're there in person.
Right, right. Well, as we wind down the interview, I want to thank you for your service, and I've kind of smiling when you talked about your teacher at 99 years. What a full life. You've had such a yes. storied career. Do you ever think you might be a teacher one day?
Well, my Louisiana in Mississippi is a little bit of teaching. That's about as far as mm-hmm. I've gotten.
Right. Well, Jay Darden, Commissioner of Administration, thank you again for making time to be on Talk Louisiana. And I want to thank everybody that listened today and put up with some of our technical difficulties. Signature support is offered by First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. Thank you for joining us.